For those of you who don't know me, my name is Donald Savini. I believe I met most everybody here tonight. Donald Savini, I'm 21 years old. I got to mention this first because this morning in college and career class, I forgot to introduce my wife. I was so nervous that I forgot. So Marissa could just wave. My wife, Marissa, we got to grow up together under Pastor Rich and Miss Carrie in Mountain View Baptist Church in Holyoke. And for the first couple years, I had this major crush on Marissa. I mean, just the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life. She couldn't stand me, though. She just didn't like me. And I tried and tried, but I was just not cool enough, I guess. But praise the Lord, years went by, and she came to her senses, and no, we began dating, and then throughout college we dated, and I got her father's permission to ask her hand, and we were married 1 year this past Sunday, May 15th, was our anniversary, our first anniversary. That's why we took the trip, just taking a little vacation for our first anniversary. And then July 16th is the due date for the next chapter of our lives, having that baby boy. So I'm excited about that. If we could, after service, just form a line. I just need some advice on this kind of stuff. So, but I'm excited about that. God's doing great things in our life and our family. And it's just amazing to see where God's brought me in my life. Dr. Phil Tharp, you know Brother Eric Tharp and the Tharp brothers that were here, their father said this quote, and it said, "Life is what happens when you have something else planned." And I know as a teenager, I never expected ever to be where I'm at now. I never expected to go out to California to Bible college. I never expected what happened to Eric Tharp to happen. I never expected to be where I am right now. And it's just a blessing to see what God's done in our lives together. And I'm excited about the future, what the future may hold for us. Not sure what it is, but I'm excited. I know I'm going to heaven when I die, so I'm excited about that. Until then, I'm just going to keep serving, having a good time with that. So we're going to be in Psalms chapter 38. Psalms chapter 38. I feel very short behind this pulpit. Psalms chapter 38. I will not be long tonight, I promise. Loomis Park Baptist Church, a wonderful place to be. I love it. I've been here just for today, and I was here for the youth ride yesterday, and what a blessing. His beautiful building, beautiful pipe organ. I love the sound of that organ. And my favorite part is this view out this window. I love that view. You guys got a great view of the mountains. Beautiful. No, but it's a blessing. Thank you for your kind words, for your just being a blessing to me, encouragement. A lot of churches I was speaking with, I forgot who I was speaking, brother, who was I speaking to earlier? Cannot remember, but I was talking to, Brother Becker. Brother Becker, I was talking to him, and I was saying, you know, I've been to a lot of churches all over the country, and not everybody is nice. A lot of people just, they're not nice, they're not very friendly. Down in Indiana, man, it's just the southern way. They're happy, excited, they'll talk to you on the streets. But in New England, oh man, be ready for some harsh words sometimes. But it's good to be in a place where the people are friendly, God's people. Welcoming us in, and it's been a blessing to be here so far. So thank you so much for everything. Psalms chapter 38. Before we read our passage, let's just pray, get started, and we'll get done with this. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, I ask you to give me strength tonight, God. Please, Lord, I'm nothing, nothing at all. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Give me the words to say. Lord, help me not to try and impress anybody or try to make a name for myself at all, God, but this is all about you. Lord, this is all about your words. Lord, you wrote this book, God. These are your words. Lord, and the opportunity, the privilege to be able to preach them is just amazing, and thank you for that. Help this message be a blessing to somebody, Lord, even if it's just myself. And Lord, help us all to leave here with something tonight, God. Thank you for the service this morning, the two that were saved and the two that were saved yesterday. God, what a great work is going on here. Bless these people and thank you for them. In your precious and holy name, amen. In a world filled with war, strife, violence, and murder, people who have no fear of consequences, people who do whatever they want with no fear of what's going to happen, earthquakes and devastation and tsunamis and total chaos in some places. In a country that can't agree on much, and they seem to be getting worse and worse as the years go by, and a struggling economy and people with no homes, and there's people that have no food and people who have no family who are alone and homeless people, and just a country that just struggles. And maybe even in this city, tough times. And maybe even today in your own life. Maybe It's a life that seems to have lost its sense of joy. A life that seems to have lost its sense of meaning. Maybe you were laid off from work, or you just don't like your job, or your marriage may be falling apart, or your kids are not acting the way that they should, or maybe you have no money, or maybe you're just hurting. Maybe there's just a trial that's just eating away at you. A life that seems to have lost its sense of joy. Five words. With God, there is hope. With God, there is hope. Psalms chapter 38 and verse 15 says this, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God." The next chapter over, chapter 39 and verse 7 says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." With God, there is hope. You know, friend, tonight, the only hope for our country is Jesus Christ. The only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. Hey, the only hope for this city and for this church is Jesus Christ. And the only hope for your life, whatever the problem may be, is Jesus Christ. With God, there is hope. We know the story of Job. And Job was a perfect man, upright. And the Lord even bragged about Job. The Lord's up in heaven and they're having a meeting, and even Satan was up there, and God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He was bragging about Job pretty much. It made me think of my parents and how I know growing up, I was just kind of this little kid that always liked to help people, and I was just a little cute kid, and people for some reason liked me as a kid. I don't know why, but they did. And they'd go up to my parents, "Oh, your son is such a sweet little boy. What a sweet little angel your son is." My parents would kind of be like, "Oh yeah, really? We're talking about the same Donald here? You sure you're talking about Donald there?" And it made me think of, you know, God was bragging about Job. And Satan said, "Well, you know, Lord, why should he complain? Why should he do wrong? You've given him everything he needs. You've helped him. You've got this big shield around him. Why should he complain?" He said, "Lord, I bet you if you just take that shield off of him and you let some things get into his life, I bet you he'll curse you to your face." And the Lord, obviously all knowing, but the Lord kind of just wanted to amuse Satan, I guess. Said, "Yeah, go ahead, do what you need to do." He said, "Just don't kill him." So we know the story as Satan went and he, Job just lost everything. He lost all his land, all of his cattle, and all of his whole family. He just lost everything. And common sense would say, in most cases, people would just, "Oh man, just down in the dumps and just depressed. And oh, why God? But we know what happened. We know that all that happened to Job, all the trials that he went through, everything that he lost, all of his kids were dead and his family, and even his wife said, "You should just curse God and die." Through it all, Job lifted up his eyes and said, "Naked came out from the womb and naked shall return thither. My hope is in you, God." He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My hope is in you, God." Job could say that. "My hope is in you, God." With God, there is hope. You know what the Lord's desire for all of us is? That we trust in Him. That's the Lord's desire for all of us, is that we trust in Him. Hope, I got the definition from the Webster's Dictionary, and hope can be used two ways. It can be used as a verb or as a noun. As a verb, the word hope says to expect with confidence. The noun hope, as in saying, "The Lord is my hope," the noun version, someone or something on which our hopes are centered. A desire accompanied by expectation or belief in fulfillment. Hoping in God. With God, there is hope. I believe just four quick things. If we hope in God, if we trust in God and make Him our hope, it will produce four things. The first thing is simply this. If we hope in God and place our trust in God, no matter what the situation may be, if we hope in God, it will give us happiness. It will give us happiness. Now let me just tell you something a little bit about myself. I am poor. I don't have a lot of money. I am short. I have a Jeep Cherokee, 2001, and it's leaking radiator fluid. Antifreeze. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know much about cars. You know that even now in my life, I'll go into a restaurant and people will ask about if I needed a kid's menu. Even now I had people come up, "We thought you were a teenager for the youth rally yesterday." I'm like, "No, I know, I look it." But just the point is that, you know what, I could, if I really wanted to, I could probably pick things that I could complain about. I work at a job, a fertilizer company, and my boss is an ex-Marine recon. He's just very built, raw, very angry guy. Very angry guy, very short fuse. Sometimes if something messes up, even if it's not my fault, I'll get that finger, I'll get that red face, I'll get that vein coming down. Just lays into me. And you know what? That's discouraging sometimes. But here's the deal. Throughout all those things that I could talk about, oh, I'm poor and I'm short and, you know, this and that and all these other things, I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy guy. I'm the happiest guy you'll meet. I love my life. I am so glad at where God's brought me. I'm a blessed person. Hey, I got a great family. I've grown up in a Christian home and had the privilege to go to Christian schools. And I have a wonderful church back home that I get to serve in. And I have wonderful Christian friends. And I do have a job, although I may not like my job or it's not what I'm called to do. But hey, it's a job that the Lord gave me that I can provide for my family. I have a beautiful wife and a baby boy coming. Hey, I have things to be thankful for. Hey, even more than that, September 9th, 2001, I sat in the back of Pioneer Valley Baptist Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. And the preacher preached and I knew that I was on my way to hell. And I sat there running the sound booth and my palms began to sweat and I began to get sweaty and I began to get nervous and I began to shake. And I knew in my heart that if I died that day, I'd go to hell. And I got up during the invitation. I went and I knelt down. I asked God to save me, to come into my heart, to save me from hell. And that day He did. That day He saved me. And I never have to worry about going to hell. Hey, that's a reason for me to be happy. I'm saved. If you hope in God, it'll give you happiness. And I could go on and on and on and on. There's a song. And the second verse goes like this. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses. And I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. And the chorus says this. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, we've had our hard times. But I wouldn't trade them if I could. Because through it all, God's been good. Folks, you know that God has been good to you. God has been good to you. If you just stop for a second and think of all that the Lord's given us, we could go on for hours. And we can realize that God has been good to us. Hey, I know that we all hurt. There's times in our lives when we're going to hurt. Things are going to get difficult. And trials are going to come. But thank God that He is there. And He can give us that true joy. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Hey, when you hope in God, it gives you happiness. The Bible says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Psalms 146, let's turn over there real quick. Psalms chapter 146. When you hope in God, it gives you happiness. Psalms 146. And verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The Bible says it right there. When you hope in God, when you make God your hope, hey, you're going to be happy. Happiness is an outcome of hope in God. So when you hope in God, it gives you happiness. Second thing it gives you, I believe that when you put your trust and your hope in God, He gives you opportunity. Say opportunity, opportunity to do what? Opportunity to do what, Brother Donald? Things that you never dreamed of. When you hope in God, He'll give you opportunity. Hey, you know, all I am is Donald Savini, 21 years old. I work for Turf Care Supply Incorporated. I'm a temp. I don't make that much money. I'm really nothing. I'm just a person. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's it. I'm nothing. And if you stab me, I'm going to bleed just like all of us. But hey, I'm nothing. But with Jesus at the center of my life, with Jesus leading the way, whoa! I'm telling you, I've been given the greatest opportunities of my entire life. This right here, where I'm standing, preaching to you folks, this is a great opportunity in my life. This is a blessing to me. And you know what? With God as my hope, He has given me some of the greatest opportunities that I've ever had. I had the privilege to go out to Golden State Baptist College in California. I had the privilege to be the class chaplain and to be able to preach and to be able to work on the bus routes. And I've had the privilege to see little kids in the bus ministry get saved and grow up in church and go soul winning. And I know of a young man named Matt back at our home church about 6 years ago. I met him out in the streets in Holyoke, and now he's heading off to Bible college in the fall. And hey, that's an opportunity for me. That's a blessing to me. When you hope in God, He'll give you some of the greatest opportunities you could ever believe. I have a beautiful wife. I have a Christian family that I've had the privilege to raise my little boy to serve God. Hey, that's an opportunity for me. That's an opportunity for me. And I could go on and on. You know, Monday through Friday back home, Monday through Friday, I work for Turf Care Supply. That's just the way it is. My boss is Todd, the Marine I was just telling you about. He's who I work for Monday through Friday. If he tells me to go do this, I got to go do it. But I'll tell you, when those weekends come and I have the opportunity to serve God with everything in me, and I get to go out on Saturdays and visit those kids, and I get to go on Sunday mornings and wake those kids up and bring them to church and preach to them and sing with them and laugh with them and joke with them, hey, that's the greatest opportunity. When you hope in God, He'll give you the opportunity. When you hope in God, He will give you great opportunities. And that's just the truth. And I'll tell you, when you work for God, the benefits are a lot better. The benefits are a lot better. You say, Donald, I can't be used. I'm too old, or I'm too young, or, you know, I'm just newly saved, or, you know, I haven't done anything in so long. I cannot be used. God will use you. God has a spot for you. No matter who you are in this room, I don't care the age, who you are, where your background is, what your past is. God has a specific plan for each and every one of us in our lives. He has a specific plan. He has a specific plan for you in this church. I have no doubt, Pastor, that there are ministries that probably need some help in certain areas. And you know what? You can have that opportunity to serve God and see Him do great things. When you trust in God, when you hope in Him, it gives opportunity. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. He who began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. When you hope in God, it gives you opportunity. So when you hope in God, it gives you happiness. It gives you opportunity. And thirdly, I believe that when you put your trust, when you put your hope in God, it gives you peace. The Bible says in Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When you put your hope in God, it will give you peace. I can't tell you how many times in the short life that I've lived, 21 years, that's not a lot of time for some big trials and a lot of problems. Hey, I have not had that many problems, but I know that in my life, there have been trials. There have been tough times. But I can't tell you how many times in those trials, when it seems as dark as it's ever going to be, and when it seems like as if there's no hope, and there's no future, and there won't be a bright tomorrow. In those times, if I could just put my trust in God and put my hope in God, He gives me that peace that passes understanding. And in your life, maybe some of you have had trials, and you've trusted in God, and you know the feeling of that perfect peace. When you hope in God, He gives you peace. Whether I was sad or mad or hurt or maybe scared about the trial that was coming, each and every time that trial was there and I could lift my eyes and the peace of God lifted me up to higher places every single time. And He will. No matter what the problem is, He will lift you up if you ask Him. Philippians chapter 4. We'll go over there real quick. If you can't make it there, I'll just read the verse. Philippians 4. And verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what a privilege it is to be able to give our requests to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That peace is what we're going to need, that peace. We will all, in some point in our life, if not already, we're going to need that peace of God. I think of the story in the Bible of the disciples as they're on the ship. When Jesus went in the bottom of the ship and began to sleep, and the storms came, and the thunder, and the lightning came, and the waves were crashed up on the side of the boat, and these disciples were fearful for their lives. They didn't think they were going to make it. They were scared out of their mind. And the storms were coming, and it was a terrible storm. And they went down and said, Jesus, if you want us to perish, we're all going to die. What's going to happen? And we know the story is Jesus stepped out on that deck, and he stood there on that ship, and as the rain came down, and the lightning, and the thunder roared, and the rain, the waves came, and he said, peace be still. And the sea calmed. and the sea calmed. And I think in our lives, whether it be, maybe it's right now or maybe it's going to be shortly in the future, but in our lives, there's going to come a time when it's going to start to get dark and it's going to start to get tough and the rain's going to start to pour down in our lives with trials and the thunder and the lightning's going to roar and we're not going to know what to do and we're going to think that there's no hope at all and that life is over and nothing's going to be good anymore and this is going to be terrible. We worry and we forget about things and we start to get away from God, but if we can just lift our eyes up to Jesus Christ and ask Him for help in those times, in those storms, He can stand up and say, hey, peace be still. Peace be still. And we'll never be the same. We'll never be the same. When you hope in God, it'll give you peace. Friend, I'm not sure where you're at in your life right now. I'm not sure. Maybe life is just great right now for you. It's great for me. I'm loving life. Everything's great. But sooner or later, there's going to come a time in my life when something's going to happen. Something's going to hit me. The devil's going to attack. And what am I going to do? What are you going to do? When those times come in life, we have got to hope in God. And He will give you that peace. So happiness. He gives opportunity. He gives peace. And lastly, when you hope in God, put your trust in Him, it gives you everything that you need in life. Everything that you need in life. Jesus is everything. Hey, He's everything to me. I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it were not for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for Him in my life. He's everything I need. That's all I need. You know the song, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him, I would fall. We think of the song, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. And the chorus, Jesus knows all about our struggles. And He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. He's everything that we need in life. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't say I can do all things by myself. No, it says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Jesus Christ is everything we need in our lives. He is everything that we need in our lives. There's a song that goes like this. The chorus goes like this. He is the hope for the hopeless, the water, the giver of life. He is the strength for the weary and love for those cast aside. He is the rest for the restless. He's freedom from fear. And when things seem impossible, know that He's near. For all of the problems in life, the answer is Christ. The answer is Christ. Jesus Christ is everything that we need in our lives. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years or 50 days. I don't care if you've been in this church for just a couple weeks or for your whole life. Here's the thing. We need Jesus Christ in our lives. This church needs Jesus Christ. Hey, everything that this church needs to grow and to continue to grow and continue to do great things for God. Hey, all it needs is Jesus Christ. The message this morning, the need of the hour is the power of God. Everything that we need in our life is Jesus Christ. We all need something. Maybe tonight you'll say, hey, you know, you're saying all these things, but I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I have Jesus Christ in my heart. Hey, He's everything you need. He's everything that you need. I can't tell you so many stories I have of when I wasn't sure of what to do next, the next step of my life. Man, should I do this? Should I do that? What should happen? And I'll tell you, every single time He showed me. Every single time the Lord Jesus Christ showed me what I needed to do, and He was there for me. And He always is there for us. No matter what is going on in our lives, Jesus Christ, thank God, is there for us. Every time. When you hope in God, He gives everything that you need in life. So with happiness, opportunity, peace, and everything that you need in life. If you take the first letter of each one of those words, each one of those points, happiness, H, opportunity, O, peace, P, and everything you need is E. It spells out the word hope. And Jesus is our hope. He's the only hope for this church. He's the only hope for this world. He's the only hope for this country. And He's the only hope for me and for you. Without Him, We know the song. We know the song. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, life would be hopeless. Hey, He's everything that we need. He is our hope. He is our hope, and He's always here for us. Hey, that last point, the letter E, everything we need in life, it could also be something else. When you put your hope and trust in God, it can give you everlasting life. If you're here tonight, and you do not know that if you die tonight, you do not know where you'd go. Hey, the Bible shows us how we can know for sure that we're going to heaven when we die. Maybe tonight you say, man, Brother Donald, this is my first time here, or I've been coming for a little while, but or maybe you've been coming your whole life, but still, you know in your heart, if you died, man, you go to hell. Hoping in God, putting your trust in Christ, that can give you eternal life. In closing, let's turn over to Lamentations chapter 3. Short message tonight, simple message tonight, but I know that I needed it. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations. The kids have been behaving wonderfully tonight, by the way. I was going to bring a couple candy bars to give as a quiet seat prize, but they're doing wonderful. So, the book of Lamentations in chapter 3. I'll start in verse 1. Lamentations 3:1 says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of His wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is He turned. He turneth His hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath He made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, He shutteth out my prayer. Man, so far, this doesn't sound too good. Verse 9, He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent His bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of His quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance. And is humbled in me. Man, those first 20 verses can be very discouraging. I bet if someone had never read this chapter before and they read it, they'd say, wow, this is pretty discouraging. What's going on with this guy? He's just complaining nonstop, 20 verses of complaining. But we see in verse 21, through all those problems, verse 20, we'll read, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. In verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The author of this book, 20 verses of complaining and just struggles and trials in life. But thank God for verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And friend, tonight, whatever you may be going through, whatever the trial may be, and maybe you're not going through a trial, but let me tell you this, sooner or later there's going to come a time in your life. Maybe it's next week, maybe it's next year, who knows? But you're going to have a time when, man, it's going to be weighing down on you. But remember this. Remember what God said. And when you're in the middle of that problem, that trial, you can say, hey, this I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. That it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Hey, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is all we need, and He is our hope. With God, there is hope. Friend, tonight, before we have our invitation, the decision I believe that needs to be made tonight, in my heart and in all of our hearts, the decision that needs to be made is just simply this. Hey, I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to trust my Father. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ for whatever comes into my life. I'm going to make Him a bigger part of my life. I don't know what it may be in your life. Maybe it's, you know, I'm going to start reading my Bible more. I have not been in God's Word as much as I should, and I know that I need it. Maybe say, man, I have not been praying. I haven't been praying sincerely as I should. I need to pray more. Maybe it's, you know, I'm going to come faithfully every single time the doors of this church are open. I'm going to be here every time the services are going on. I'm going to be here. Maybe you say, you know what? I'm going to start coming out on Saturdays and helping out with the soul winning and with the bus visits. I'm going to get more involved in this church. Maybe you have to get baptized. Maybe you have to join this church. I'm not sure what it is. But make a decision tonight. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust You more. I'm going to make You my hope. I'm going to hope in God because He's the only one that can help us. Hey, the government's not going to help us. Planned Parenthood's not going to help us. All these things that go on and on, hey, they're not going to help us. Only thing that's going to help us is Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Please, tonight, make a decision. Trust God with all your heart. He will bring you through. Your life will never be the same. Our heads are bowed.